Where is it?
School. Unfortunately, every teacher that I had, Frieda had before me. And every time I went into a class, the teacher always would say, "Are you going to be as smart as your sister Frieda?" Of course, I said yes. However, I wasn't. At any rate, I always would say, "Nobody hits me and means it." This teacher I had, I guess it was in the third grade. In fact, I even remember her name. It was Miss Cohen. She was a nice young teacher. And I could never read long numbers. In fact, I have trouble today reading long numbers. She wrote a number on a board and asked me to read it. Of course, I couldn't. Little Lord Fauntleroy put his hand up. I know it. And he read it. Now the teacher asked me to repeat it. I couldn't even repeat it for the second or third time. She came down with a pointer and she hit me across my legs with the pointer. Well, I got pretty angry at that and I broke the yardstick across her legs. Of course, I was suspended. I was told not to return to school until I brought my mother. Well, I wouldn't tell Mom. She'd kill me. So every morning, for the next 3 days, I would get my penny for recess, go to school with my brothers and sisters, never went inside the building, always played on the outside. And at lunchtime, I would come home, have my lunch, get my penny for recess for the afternoon. I was having a grand old time. It was about 4 days later, I came home from school, and here's Mom in the doorway, waiting. I should have become suspicious, but I didn't. When I got up the steps, she says, "Numati, did you go to school today?" "Certainly, Mom." "Well, did you learn something today?" "What do you mean?" "Sure, I learned something today." And before I knew it, I got the hand alongside my head so fast and so hard. I said, "What are you hitting me for?" She said, "The truant officer came today." One more story, and I'll turn the mic over to the next person. It has to do with Mom's famous knishes. I used to watch her make these knishes, and it was so done so effortlessly, but I decided one day, hey, I could make them. Now, I rendered my schmaltz, chicken fat, for those who don't know what schmaltz is, and fried my onions. I made the potatoes, you know, put the two together, and I made the dough. However, I couldn't roll out the dough. So who do you go to? You go to an expert. I called Mom on the phone. "Mom, I need you." She said, "What's the matter?" I said, "I decided to make knishes today, but I can't roll out the dough." So she said, "Come and get me." Okay. I went there to pick Mom up, and as I arrived, Shingle also arrived. Now, Shingle came a pretty good distance. I mean, after all, she lived in Collinsdale, which was about a 45-minute ride from where Mom lived. As we went up the step, Mom came out the door. She said, "Shingle, you go home. Mother needs me right now." Well, I don't have to tell you how Shingle felt. Everybody knows. However, I brought Mom to the house. She looked at my stuff. She took my dough and felt it and said, "There's nothing wrong with the dough. It's good dough for cookies." Well, of course, I had her make the dough at that time, and I watched pretty close. Now, I won't say my knishes are as good as Mom's. Nobody can make them that good. But they're a darn close second.
Thank you, Brother Mutt. My name is Nate. Fits between my sister Reba, whose nickname was Yippy, and my brother Harry, whose nickname was Yay. Just so you know where I fit in this sequence of siblings. My earliest story concerns my sister Yippy. There are not too many stories that I could remember that would be funny with her. Anyway, I remember we were home playing with a wooden erector set, which I think was donated to the family by Mrs. Kind, K-I-N-D. He used to see to a lot of our clothing needs and our toys that we could play with. Well, one day I was playing with the wooden erector set, and my sister Yippy was, you know, trying to play with it at the same time. She must have caught a cold or a virus or a bug or whatever it was, but she was leaning over the box of the wooden erector parts and threw up all over the erector set. My mom, having more than her share of things to do, promptly picked up the whole box, vomit, and the erector set, and threw them out. That was the only story that I really have about my sister Yippy. My second story, I'll call the aggravations of the lamplighter. Approximately in the year 1930, our family lived at 2420 South Warnock Street. And right across the street, there happened to be a street light that was lit by a lamplighter. It was a gas light. Well, us little mischievous boys, approximately 7, 8, 9 years old, we used to wait for the lamplighter to come every evening to light the lights. And when he would light it and continue on his route, before he got to the end of the street, we used to climb up the pole and turn the light off. So he would have to come back and relight it. And we used to have a big, it was funny to us to watch the lamplighter in his anger come back and relight the light. That's the end of that story. The third story I'll call Mutty's bike versus mom's gefilte fish. When I was very, very young, I was a horrible eater. I hated food. It doesn't matter who the chef was, even mom. I hated gefilte fish. And every Friday night, without fail, we would have gefilte fish. And I was putting up a horrible fuss that I didn't want to eat mom's gefilte fish. And finally, my brother tried to entice me into not being a pain in the rear end and eat the gefilte fish, offered me the use of his bicycle, a two-wheeler bike, for the whole day, the following day, if I would only stop being a pain and eat the gefilte fish. Well, that bike was really enticing, and I really wanted to use the bike. So I tried to eat the gefilte fish. One bite was all I needed, and I thought I was going to throw up. Needless to say, I gave up the bicycle, and Mutti didn't have to give me the bike the following day. That's the end of story number three. The fourth and fifth experiences is sort of like our frightening, youthful experiences, which I call the boogeyman. One Saturday night, my sister Shandel, who I believe was babysitting me, was playing cards in the dining room of our Warnock Street home. And it was a very old home, and it had a lot of odd sounds and creaks. And as we were playing cards, just the two of us alone at home, we heard some noises, and it seemed to be coming from the kitchen. My sister Shandel, who was supposed to be babysitting me, told me to go into the kitchen and see if somebody's there. Well, I was frightened also. But anyway, being brave, I tiptoed and I poked my head around the corner to see if anybody was in the kitchen. But the kitchen was dark, there were no lights on, and this frightened Shandel. Shandel screamed. When she screamed, I screamed, and we both ran out of the house. Neighbors came to find out what happened at the Gruson residence, what was wrong, and they searched the house from top to bottom, and there was no boogeyman. It was a false alarm, and everybody got a big laugh. The second boogeyman experience came on a Saturday night when everybody happened to be home. Saturday night was bath night. And the ritual was that we took baths two at a time in the same tub because we couldn't afford the hot water. And my mom would comb our hair with a fine-tooth comb and get all the nits out of our head, squash them between her thumbnail. And anyway, one Saturday night, I heard a knock on the door and opened it immediately, and there was this intoxicated man, but I didn't know he was intoxicated, and he wanted to come in, so I said, sure, come in, mister, come in. Well, when mom saw this drunken man, she shooed him, gently of course, back out the front door. But the man wouldn't leave. So mom got all her brew together, placed herself between this menacing drunken man, ordered all her children out the door and into the streets. And again, we had very good neighbors. They all came over to find out what was wrong with the Grusons. Well, they chased the man around the corner into the back alley. Two brothers who were tougher nails. One entered the alley in one direction, and the other entered the alley in the other direction, opposite direction, and proceeded to beat this poor drunken man senseless. Then they called the police, who arrested the man. The truth of the matter was, the poor guy came in a taxi cab, didn't know what direction he wanted to go, and we lived at 2420 South Warnock Street. He lived at 2420 North Warnock Street. Poor guy took a beating for nothing. That's the end of my frightening, useful experiences of the boogeyman. Story number six. The Rugowitz's cat versus the sewer rat. One day, we had a visit from a very, very large sewer rat. And nobody can catch the rat. My mom couldn't hit the rat with the broom or sweep it out of the house. So we decided to borrow Mrs. Rugowitz's cat, which was a rather large cat. My mom brought the cat home, and we knew that the rat had taken refuge under our living room sofa. So she threw the cat in back of the sofa, and we heard the screeching and meowing and whatever was going on between the cat and the rat. But lo and behold, the cat ran out and the sewer rat stayed. Now comes the real hero of the story. Sal Blacker, who happened to be Frieda's boyfriend at the time, who later became Frieda's husband, he came in with a baseball bat and a broom, ran after the rat, finally was able to cover the rat with the broom and whack it three or four times with the baseball bat. And that was the end of the rat. We threw the rat into the garbage, and end of story. Story number seven has to do with my beautiful Red Ryder BB gun. I was able to buy a BB gun, and I used it for target practice. And where do I go for target practice? Down in our basement on Warnock Street. We had a long, narrow basement, and I would put up a paper target hanging from the ceiling and shoot my BBs at the paper target, but the BBs would hit the wall back of the target and bounce back right at me. And boy, I'll tell you, they hurt. So I had to devise a way that the BBs wouldn't come back. I looked around at all the junk in the basement, and I see this kind of large cardboard box. So I pulled the cardboard box in back of the paper target and fired my BB gun, and boy, that was really good because the BBs went into the box and they didn't come back. I bet I fired at least 5,000 BBs into that cardboard box, little knowing what tragedy I was doing at the time. Come Pesach, my mom goes down the basement to retrieve her Pesach dishes. Lo and behold, as you guessed it, that was the cardboard box that I used to keep the BBs from bouncing back at me. Not a single dish Not a cup or saucer survived. I ruined the entire box of paste-addicted dishes. I can't remember what happened. I don't really think I got a spanking for it. But anyhow, I had to get rid of my beautiful Red Ryder BB gun. And Eli Hertzberg, Rita's husband, became the sole owner of the Red Ryder BB gun. End of story. Story number 8 has to do with our sleeping accommodations at Warnock Street. To my recollection, it was a 3-bedroom house. My mom had to perform a miracle with 7 children and only 3 bedrooms. Of course, we had to double up. And my first bed partner, as you will, was my brother, Yay. Slept with him for a while until he got tired and kicked me out of bed. And then I transferred over to my brother, Mutt. And Mutt, surprisingly, was very, very nice. And Mutt used to sing me lullabies so I could fall asleep. And that was great. Till finally, even Mutt kicked me out of bed. And I went to sleep with my brother, Moish. Can't remember too much that happened with Moish. I don't think I slept with him for an extra long period of time. But he kicked me out of bed. Now I had nowhere else to go. So my sister, Frida, who was due to get married in a couple, 3 weeks, told me that I could sleep with her. And that was very, very nice. And I had problems with cleanliness in those days. We didn't bathe but once a week. And one summer evening, after playing very, very hard in my sneakers, my feet began to stink pretty bad, you know? And I told my mom, I said, "Mom, my feet smells like seagull pears." So rather than give me a bath, she took Frida's very best perfume and sprayed my feet and told me to go to bed. And when Frida came home that night, her room reeked of her best perfume. End of story. Thank you. Story number 9 is about a desk that my mom had bought so the children could do their homework at night. In this desk, there were 4 drawers on the right-hand side. The lucky ones, the older ones, got the desk drawers. And they used the desk drawers individually until they left home. And as each one left home, the next older sibling got a drawer. Being that I was pretty young, it took a long time before I had the privilege of having my own drawer, which was the last drawer on the bottom on the right-hand side. Was I proud to own that drawer. Nobody could use it, only me. Matter of fact, I was so proud that I carved my name on the handle of the drawer. And that was one of the very few times I could remember my mom giving me a spanking. Story number 10 has to do with school suspension. I think I tore a page out of my brother Mutt's educational diary. Anyway, I
went to the Dobbins Vocational High School at 22nd and Lehigh Avenue to learn a trade. And that trade was operating a printing press. Well, one day, after eating lunch, we were supposed to take away our trays and dishes to a special table, and I had taken my tray and dishes and put them where they belong, but other people left the room and left their dishes on the table, and the teacher in charge of the lunchroom told me to clean the table of all the dishes and put them where they belong, which I proceeded to tell him that I'm not the whipping boy, and they're not my dishes, and I am not going to take them away. So he reported me to my homeroom teacher, who told me that I, after giving me a lecture about the lunchroom, that I would have to clean the oil pans under the presses. And I asked him at that time whether cleaning the oil pans was a learning experience or was it punishment. And he told me it was punishment. I immediately told him I was not going to clean the oil pans, and the teacher immediately told me, you are suspended and don't come back to school without your parents. So, now, how could I tell Mom I was suspended? This was a new experience for me, you know. I was always a good boy, so I was afraid to tell her. And like Mutti, I got my lunch bag, and I got my few pennies, and I would go on a trolley car and go to school, and instead of going inside the school, I would go by the train yards there, and I would play amongst the trains, throwing stones for target practice at empty whiskey bottles, or rubbing alcohol, or whatever else that I used to find in the city dump. So finally, again, the school sent a postcard. Where is your son? My mom was so mad that she wouldn't go to school with me, and I had to get one of the neighbors who came to school to listen to the tale of woe. And that was the end of my high school suspension. Story number 11 is about my brothers who like to tell stories about how cheap I am. Goes all the way back to the times when I had a so-called part-time job working at the Tessman drugstore. My job was to deliver prescriptions and wait on trade. And for a full week's work, I was paid $3. Also, as a tie-in to supplement my income, I had the sole ownership of running phonies. That means people would call and ask the drugstore to send someone to a person's home to come to the drugstore and answer the phone. For that, I received a nickel. Those nickels used to add up to maybe another $2 a week, which gave me a total of $5 a week. I had a whole lot of money in those days, and my brothers knew it. So they really needed money. They were dating girls by this time, and they wanted to go to the movies, so where are they going to get some money but ask Nate? Well,